I should clarify something I had said about Evelyn before she does come back here and hits me with her purse or something. She's eating everything in sight, but everything clean. Well, I don't know about you, but me, along with many other people, find the Bible confusing sometimes. You know, we prayed and asked God to open up our minds, and He's done that. But still, sometimes you look and you read a scripture or you hear a message, and you just have difficulty really getting a clear picture of what that scripture's saying. And even though the Bible has been the most popular selling book in the world for many years, it's also the most misunderstood book in man's history. And you wonder, how can that be? I mean, do people just buy Bibles to put on the coffee table? Or, you know, why is that? Because being the most popular book and being the most misunderstood book, it just really doesn't go together. But it does, as far as the Bible's concerned. But is there a way for us to understand what the Bible really says? Can we figure that out? Can we read the scriptures and know what God is saying to us? But the Bible gives us keys to help us in our understanding. Because anytime we study God's word, our attitude and perspective need to be right. And if they are, if our attitude is right, if our perspective is right, God will certainly do His part and help us to understand what we're reading, what we're studying. Are there certain principles we should follow to help make our Bible study successful? Are there study tools available that will help us to do that? Can studying the Bible help us in our spiritual growth? Well, we know the answer to those questions is yes. All of those things are available, and especially with the internet today, there's so much material out there that can help us. We can search and find information that can help us in our study. But the more time we spend getting to know our Creator and the purpose He created us for, the more we'll grow spiritually. Even if we're blessed with one of the brightest minds in the world, and there are people that way that are very bright, that have high IQs, that can figure most things out. But even if we're one of those people, if we don't seek God's help to understand the Bible, we might as well close it, because we're not going to understand it. We can't do it. The physical mind by itself can't understand the Bible. It just doesn't get it. It doesn't compute, and Scripture tells us that. The physical can only understand physical. God's Spirit in us is what opens our minds to be able to understand what the Bible says. So we have to rely on God. We have to go to God and tell Him, ask Him to open our minds so the Bible doesn't remain a mystery. And this is something we have to take to heart, because it won't be too far down the road when people are going to come up to you and I and ask us questions about God's truth. Ask us questions about the commandments. Ask us questions about what does Scripture really say. I received an email from a young lady last week, and she attends another church, but she said her and her husband are looking for a Sabbath-keeping church to attend, and they want to find something that they can believe in and they can support before they have children. And along with that email, she sent me 12 questions asking me what we believe. Now, the hardest part of that is figuring out her intent with those questions. What does she believe? That's really the hardest part for me, because I want to answer her questions, but I want to answer them honestly, truthfully, and to the best of my ability, based on God's word, God's truth. But people are asking questions, and that's going to happen more and more. We had a new family in Kalamazoo a couple of weeks ago, and the young lady was full of questions, question after question. And so we do have work to do as far as studying the Bible, knowing what the Bible says, because God expects that from you and I. He's brought us here to the classroom to teach us those things. So he expects us to pay attention. He expects us to do our homework by Bible, through Bible study, and to know what his word says. Learning about and respecting God's law is an important key that helps us in our understanding, because if we don't understand God's law, if we don't recognize that the Ten Commandments are in effect today, and if we reject God's laws, we might as well close the book. Because that's the only end result if we don't do those things. Close the book. If we leave God out of the picture. But we're here to prove what Scripture says is true. Hopefully we've all proven the Ten Commandments are still in effect today. God's law is in effect today. That's why we're here. God's opened our mind to understand that. And we've proven that by reading, looking through the Scriptures, checking them out to make sure they're true. Millions of people all around the world keep man's traditions instead of God's laws. And they're content with that. They keep man's traditions. They're easy to keep. There's no pressure. Don't have to do much. But they've closed their minds to something other than what God says. What they believe is what they've been taught either by their parents or by the world's religions. That's what they believe. They go along with the majority who they feel must be right, because how many of us have heard that before? How can so many people be wrong? Can't be. Millions or billions of people are wrong and you people are right? Doesn't make sense. And that's how they feel, so they shut down. They don't look any further. But we know, through the miracle of God opening our mind, that the world is wrong, that the world doesn't understand. But that's given for you and I to do, and that's the title of my message, Understanding Your Bible. Understanding Your Bible. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. And in verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how can we divide the word of truth from what's false? Unless we study. Unless we read. Unless we look at God's word and prove what's right and what's wrong. We can't divide truth from falsehood. But it says be diligent. Make it a priority. Make it part of our daily activity. Be diligent to do that, to study, to know what God's word said. Because it's up to us. Scripture tells us to be educated in God's truth so that we can separate the truth from fiction. So when somebody asks a question, we're telling them God's truth. We're not telling them man's traditions. Or we're not telling them something we're not sure of. We're telling them exactly what any of the apostles or Jesus Christ would tell them. Because we've read it. We've proved it. God helps us through our study. He helps us to gain in the right kind of knowledge. One of the young men gave a speech in men's club last week. And this young man is studying to be an attorney. And he said, he thought about all of the time he has to put in because he takes a test for his bar, I think in February. But he was talking about all of the study time he had to put in before he took that bar exam. And he compared that to entering God's kingdom. And what's important? What's important? And he realized, you know, the kingdom of God is the most important thing in his life. To be an attorney and to pass the bar is good. It's a good thing, but it doesn't even compare to studying to show ourselves approved to enter the kingdom of God. That's much more important. Romans chapter 3, if you turn there with me. Romans chapter 3. And that's what we have to do. We have to say, okay, what's important? How do we prioritize in our life? Because we have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, and we need 26 hours a day for 8 days a week to get everything we've got to do. There just doesn't seem to be enough time to get everything done. Romans 3 and verse 20. Says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we come first to the knowledge that God's law is in effect. And to break that law is sin. So we understand this is God's truth. God has given us these laws. God has given us these guidelines to bring us to the knowledge that if we break those laws, if we do anything contrary to those laws, it's sin. And we begin to take that into our heart, into our minds, and understand that's the way it is. That's the way God is. That's the future that we have. That's what God expects from us. There's no compromise. And there's no compromise with any scripture. We know it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all start out equally because we're all sinners. Nobody starts out righteous. We all start out in the negative, starting to search these scriptures, proving what God says, proving that his law is still in effect, proving that breaking those laws is sin and against everything that God's given us. But because sin has touched each one of our lives, it's important to our future that we know what message God is giving us through his word. What is God telling us? Besides giving us his laws, besides giving us those boundaries, what else is he telling us? What is that message? What message did Jesus Christ bring? What was that message? Do we know that? Do we know what it was? Because those are the questions that people are going to ask us. What was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming? What did he do? What did he accomplish? 2 Timothy 3:16, if you turn there with me. 2 Timothy 3:16. Says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now it doesn't say there some of the scripture. Doesn't say there whatever scripture you decide works for you. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So we have to begin our Bible study understanding that. Everything we read here is God's word. It comes from God. It was inspired by God. These aren't the words that were added by man to make it fit his way of life. These are not anything other than God's inspired word. But you know, to society, to most of the world, God's word isn't good enough. Sometimes it's too simple. Sometimes it's too harsh. Sometimes it just can't be followed. That's the conclusion man comes to. And it can't without God. They come to the right conclusion if they're not going to include God in that, in their understanding. But if we don't take the time to study and prove that the Bible is the very truth of God, we'll miss out on the most exciting adventure man will ever know. We'll miss it. Romans 12, if you turn there with me. Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12 and in verse 1. Romans 12 and in verse 1. These are all familiar scriptures that we're going to be reading today. Nothing new. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you and I, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be a part of this world. Remember in Jesus Christ's prayer, he said to his Father, don't take them out of this world. His people, those he would be calling. We're in this world, but we're not to be conformed to it. We're not to be a part of it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, again, study, prove it, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't know what God's will is unless we read the scriptures, unless we study the Bible. We can't prove what it says if we don't read it, if we don't study it. Studying the Bible is a lifelong task. Every time you open the Bible, you learn something new. It never gets boring. You find something new every time, something you didn't understand or wasn't quite clear. But you pray about it. You ask God to help you to understand that, and he does. It's just a learning process. We've all heard of continuing education. This is it. This is continuing education all the rest of our lives. We'll continue to learn. God will continue to work with us to help us to gain in that knowledge. A lifelong process that you and I committed to at Passover. So how can we improve the study of the Bible, our study of the Bible? How can we improve that? How can we make that more beneficial for each one of us? How can we approach Bible study in a positive way without feeling tired, defeated, even before we begin? I can have a lot of energy and start reading the Bible, and all of a sudden I'm yawning. You know, and just my eyes are getting tired. But why? I'm reading the most exciting book that I could read. But we have to put forth more effort. We have to put forth enough effort to keep our interest up. We have to ask God, help us to pay attention, help us to be alert, so that we can gain all of the knowledge that you're giving us. But we'll look at a number of things today we can do to improve our Bible study, because it is so important. You know, we have people coming into the church, and we will have people coming into the church that are coming from all kinds of backgrounds, different backgrounds, Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, you name it. They're coming into the church. They've all had different beliefs, different upbringings. And when they come into this church and they begin to look at Scripture and they begin to understand as God works with them and he's opening their mind just as he did ours, it's a new world. It's a brand new world that we've never been to before. A lot of different things, a lot of adjustments and changes have to be made. We have to have the answers for them. We have to be able to help them understand why what you believed wasn't what God taught, wasn't what Jesus Christ came here and taught, wasn't what the apostles taught, isn't what God says in the scriptures. We have to help them to understand that in a positive, respectful way, because they don't know. They're just learning. But if we don't know, how can we be of any help? How can we be of any help at all? So we have to be ready for that. And that will come. It will come. No doubt in my mind. That will come. But again, God expects us, when he calls us and he opens our mind to come into his way of life, he expects us to begin living his way of life. He wants us to teach his ways, not our ways. You know, we all have backgrounds. We can all go back to our religious upbringing and go back to different things. That doesn't make them right. What's right is what God has shown us. What right is what God is teaching us. We have to change. We can't stay who we were. If we're staying who we were, we're making a big mistake. God has called us to change, to learn, to grow, to understand what He said, not what some man said, but what He said. And again, He admonishes us, prove what He said is true. We can debate religion till the cows come home. We can. Man can. God doesn't debate. It's His way. It's His way. And it's not up for debate. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Not going to change. But we have to accept that. We have to understand that. We changed when God opened our mind to call. We said, yes, Father, we accept You. We accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're going to repent. We're going to change. All of us. We all have to make those changes. And God will certainly help us. But the first thing we can do when we begin to study the Bible is keep an open mind. Especially for new people, keep an open mind that maybe what we taught or what we were taught. And this may go for some members that have been in the church for years. People have told me, and you may know the same thing. I mean, there have been members in the years in the church for 40 years and they still are doing some of the things they did 40 years ago that are really contrary to what God would have them do. And people will just say about that person, oh, that's just so-and-so. Well, that's not how God looks at it. If we haven't changed or making an effort to change, that's not acceptable. We all have to make those efforts to change. We can't stay where we were. So even in Bible study, we have to go to Bible study with an open mind. Maybe God knows something I don't know. Maybe there's something different. And if I accept these scriptures as the inspired word of God, there's probably something I'm going to do or going to learn. We talked about people who are locked into the traditions of men instead of what God's word says. But we have to begin our Bible study with the understanding we might just learn something new. And we do that no matter how many years we've been in the church. We go into the Bible study with the understanding we may just see something we haven't seen before. James chapter 1, if you turn there with me. James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. That's all God's waiting for, is for us to come and ask Him. If we don't understand something, ask God. He has the answer. He knows. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God will give us that wisdom, as only He can do, to open our minds. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Three simple words. But God expects us to do that. And we can do that. And we can pass this on to new people when they are looking for instruction. They want to understand what the Bible says. Ask God. He'll be there to help you. Keep an open mind that we may just learn something new. The second thing is to be humble in our approach as we seek instruction and correction from God. To be humble, seeking instruction and correction. Because we may find out, I've been doing that wrong. I've been doing that wrong all this time. But to be humble enough to understand that, take correction from God, as His scripture says, here's how it should be done. Here's what I expect from you. And to make that change. But to humbly seek God, asking Him, Father, I don't know. I need Your help. I have questions. I have doubts. I have fears, but I need you and I need your instruction. And if I'm wrong, I need to be corrected so that I can be right. Matthew 5, if you turn there with me. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Humility says a lot about a person. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. So there's a blessing for people who are meek, who are humble, who know their limitations, who know that we must go to God, we must ask for His help. We must ask for correction. We can't fool God. God knows us inside and out. You know, some other people may think we're pretty sharp, pretty smart guy, pretty smart woman. But God knows us inside and out. If we don't approach God with humility and ask Him to help us, ask Him to instruct us, ask Him to correct us, we won't have that blessing. We will throw that blessing away. But we are blessed if we do that, and God will be there to help us and guide us and help us to prepare and to be educated in His Word. 1 Peter, if you turn there with me. 1 Peter, chapter 5. And this goes right on down. As we submit ourselves to God, we can all learn a lesson from that. 1 Peter 5, and in verse 5 it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, to the older people, to the people who have been in the church, to the people who have been here, who have learned through trial and error, who have been corrected, who have learned humility. Younger people in the church can learn. And yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humility goes a long way with God. But we can help one another with questions, with answers. None of us have all the answers, but God does. But we know who we are. We know that God has called us out of this world for a purpose. So we submit to God, resist the devil, and be clothed in humility, understanding that without God, we have nothing. We will have a good perspective of who we are if we do this, if we approach God in humility. And we've touched base on accept the inspiration of the whole Bible. Just as we read, all Scripture is inspired by God. We can't pick and choose. We can't pick and choose. The world does that. I heard I was channel surfing and there was a question called in to this group of ministers. And the question was, are the commandments still to be kept? And the first thing out of one of the those people's mouth was, yes, absolutely, they're to be kept. But the ceremonial laws, like the Sabbath, are done away with. And I thought, wow, how in the world can somebody say that? How can they say that and expect to be credible? But he repeated it several times. And he always started with the Sabbath. Yeah, all the ceremonial laws beginning with the Sabbath were done away with at the cross. But the commandments are still to be kept. Absolutely talking in circles. Didn't know what he was talking about. And if we're not careful, those are the kind of answers we could give that wouldn't help anybody at all. Now, maybe it helped the person on the phone. I don't know, maybe it made sense to them. But it certainly didn't make sense to me, and if he thought about it for 2 seconds, it wouldn't make any sense to him, what he was saying. But people use what scriptures they want to use and throw away the scriptures they don't want to use. But God says all scripture is inspired. The Bible is the Word of God, and that's what Jesus Christ taught. Can you remember or think about a scripture or find a scripture where Jesus Christ said, well, I know my Heavenly Father said this, but this is the way I see it? You won't find it. He taught what His Father had commanded Him to teach and to say. Of one accord, of one mind, Christ knew the scriptures. He knew what the Old Testament said. He knew what the law was. Psalms 119, if you turn there with me. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. 119 and in verse 142. Psalms 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is what? Your law is truth. Very simple. Your law, your commandments is truth. Psalms 119 and verse 160. It says, the entirety, the whole thing, everything, the entirety of your word is what? Truth. Not part of it, not what I want to pick and choose, but the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Makes it pretty clear that God's word means something. John 8:33 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. God's truth. Not fairy tales, not fables, but God's truth. And His truth is scripture. John 14, if you turn there with me. John 14 in verse 6. John 14 in verse 6. Jesus Christ, again, making it very simple here. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the only way. Nobody else, no other God, no other person, no one except Jesus Christ. Christ is the truth. He's the way of our salvation. We must believe what He says. Acts 4, if you turn there with me. Acts chapter 4. Again, making it very clear, scripture. That people gloss over, they look over, they just don't pay any attention to it. Acts 4 and verse 12, talking about Jesus Christ here, but it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, talking about Jesus Christ. No other name. No way. No way to salvation other than Jesus Christ, no matter what anybody says. This is what God says. Muhammad can say this, or Buddha can say that, or whatever these religions are of the world. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. And God says there is no other way other than through Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. That's what the people in the world need to hear. That's what they need to see. That's what we need to have. That's the answer we need to have for them. Remember the rich young ruler, what do I have to do to be saved? Jesus Christ told him, and he turned and went away. And we've had people come into this church, they turn and go away. But we have some that come and stay. God calls people, we don't. It's like Mr. Kubik was talking about growth in the church, and he understands that very well. We don't grow the church. God does. But God can certainly use us to help people to understand what the church is all about and what we believe. But Jesus Christ was there through the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. He was there. He's a part of it. John 1, if you turn there with me. John 1. Again, very familiar scriptures that we're reading. John 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was our very life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The world doesn't see the light because they're tied to traditions. They're tied to other things than the Scriptures, than God's truth. The world can't comprehend. But we can help them comprehend. Those that are interested, those that are searching for something, just as we were, we can help them comprehend what God's truth is, what their future is, through our Bible study. We need to plan that study time. I remember I said earlier, where do we find the time? Where do we find the time? Well, you know what? We're all different. We're all separate individuals. It's up to us. The responsibility is on each one of our shoulders to find that time. Whether it be a little in the morning, a little in the evening, at noon, whenever it works. There's no certain time. Nobody has the formula for perfect Bible study. It's up to us as individuals, but it's something we have to do. We're all busy. And it becomes difficult to find time for many things. But we have to prioritize our precious time. And Bible study should be a priority. What can we do without to make room for that Bible study? What do we do through the day that we could get by without to get that Bible study time in? But how do we do that? And the real truth is, we don't have time. We don't have time to do Bible study. That's a conclusion we can come to anyway. But we have to make that time. We have to do something. We have to move things and adjust to make that time. We have to put together a plan that allows us, within that 24-hour period, that allows us to study God's Word. For whatever time we can find to set aside. Acts 17, if you turn there with me. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Acts 17. Some of the apostles were surprised. Gladly surprised here when they went to Berea. But in verse 10 it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They wanted proof. They didn't take anybody's word for it. They wanted proof of what the Scriptures said. They studied them daily. That's what we have to do. We have to study them daily. Now there's an opportunity for each one of us in God's church. It's coming up very soon. It's beginning on January 22nd. And I put some copies of this back on the information table, but I'll read this to you as it's written. It says, here's a wonderful opportunity to help you in your study of God's Word. This is from the home office. Join us over the next several weeks as we focus on six steps to Passover in our biweekly Wednesday night Beyond Today Bible Studies, webcast live from the home office. And we might say, wow, it's January. What are we thinking about Passover already? Passover will be here quickly. It will be here very quickly. It goes on, we know that our great God speaks to us through His inspired word, the Holy Bible. Here's an opportunity to deepen your understanding of God and gain insight into ourselves as we approach the Passover season. Again, as we're told, examine ourselves. Take a good close look at ourselves. Many Christians have been taught that the Passover is just an obsolete Jewish observance. But Jesus instituted the New Testament Passover and taught his followers to commemorate the most important observance. The holy days are closer than it may seem. So here's an opportunity to study six important aspects of at the heart of God's plan, the Passover. So they're going to present these six Bible studies over the next 12 weeks, starting January 22nd. It says we will begin the six steps to Passover series with our initial study on January 22nd, which will delve into the concept of Jesus our Passover, and that'll be presented by Mr. Steve Myers. The next one will be Gary Petty. It says he will examine Jesus, the second Adam, on February 5th. The third step to Passover will give us an in-depth look at Jesus and the reconciliation brought to us by Darris McNeely on February 19th. The bread and the wine will be a comprehensive lesson on Passover from Mr. Petty, scheduled for March 12th. The suffering servant foot washing is the following seminar to be taught by Mr. Myers on March 25th. The concluding Beyond Today Bible study in the Six Steps to Passover series will be given April 9th on the crucial topic of the resurrection, Christ in you, hosted by Mr. McNeely. Each study will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and would be webcast live from the home office in Cincinnati online, and it gives the website here. It says, please see the special website landing page created for this series. And you can see that if you go to the home website of United Church of God. It says God has wonderful, precious truths to guide us in his word. Six Steps to Passover presents several occasions to hear and understand exciting details of God's principles, his calling and his plan, and to help each of us prepare for the Passover season. And then it gives the schedule down here at the bottom. But what an amazing opportunity we have here to really, really be focused and spiritually prepared for the Passover. What an opportunity we have, and it's something we can do together. We can all watch these Bible studies. Gives us conversation to talk about. What did we learn? We can share what we learned. We can share, you know, all kinds of things. But we can do this together as a congregation. Hopefully we'll do it together, church, you know, worldwide. And for anybody who doesn't have the internet, we'll see if we can come up with DVDs for that. And I'm sure they'll have them. But this has never been done before. It's exciting. And to have these men helping us as we can just stay there in the comfort of our home and do those Bible studies on something so important. But I would say here's a tool, here's an opportunity that we need to take advantage of and do this. So please take one of those schedules that I have back there on the information table, and I'll send out reminders of when these are going to be telecast, because I think it's an opportunity we can't pass up, because it's just so important to us, and that when we get to Passover, we can all go there and be just like the people were on Pentecost. We all come to Passover of one accord, of one mind. We're all here for the same reason. To think about our commitment, to think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what we need to do in our own lives personally to gain in the knowledge of the Bible, to be ready, to be prepared to teach God's word to new people, to other people. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fulfillment of Christ. That's our goal, to reach that place, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine By the what? Important word here, by the what? By the trickery. Trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to what? To help you? To educate you? No, to deceive you. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. God wants and expects us to be growing in His truth. But we can't do that if we don't know what the Bible says. Can't do it. It's an impossibility. It's in our best interest to make sure we can take time each day to study, to show ourselves approved. And none of us may ever be a Bible scholar. We may never be. But God tells us that we should walk in wisdom, and not worldly wisdom, but in His wisdom. Ephesians 5, if you turn there with me, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and in verse 15. Ephesians 5 and in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and we can't do that unless we know what the Bible says, unless we know His Word. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It's amazing. Just amazing. The opportunity we have. Understanding God's Word. It's a miracle. We're all a miracle. We understand it. We need to understand it more. We need to understand it better. But understanding what the will of God is and sharing that with new people that are coming in here. Do you remember your first day at church? You didn't know what to expect. You walk into a room full of people, scared, alone. Many of us were alone. But we came looking for something. And we're going to have people come looking for something. We have what they're looking for. We have to be able to share that. We have to be able to answer their questions. God has called us to do that. God's given us that opportunity. We won't know what God's will is. We won't know how to answer their questions unless we study God's Word.